By the way, ladies, the men were actually encouraging each other with memory verse yesterday at men's devotion. So they're trying to get a jump on you. So make sure, ladies, you're encouraging one another on the verse, because the men were just buzzing yesterday. Brother Tony Radcliffe was going around making sure everybody knew the verse. And Brother Duffy, and they were saying, hey, got your verse. Get that verse. Let's say it. Brother Duffy's here. Amen. So that's a blessing, and I'm excited for the enthusiasm that is there. Amen. Amen. So Miss Duffy, you can say your verse to Miss Duffy as well. And just in case you think that Brother Duffy is partial to the men, he's not. Say he's partial. He's getting, they slipped up on two words and you let them go. Brother Duffy would never do such a thing. Never, never. Never do such a thing. He's very impartial when it comes to these things. Amen. All right. Well, we do have verses to quote that we gave you from last time, and that was Hebrews 4, 15, and 16. So let's go over the Hebrews 4, 15, and 16. We're going to say those together. And if you know it, you can close your eyes and say it. Hebrews 4, 15, and 16. And that's what we finished up with in our last lesson. And by the way, all those that did the missionary memory on the names, the birthdays, things like that, you really did a great job on that. So I really applaud your efforts. That was great. And temptation was the last lesson that we looked at here in the book, Hebrews 4. And let's read verses 15 and 16, which was the memory work there. And by the way, when we assign a verse, you can memorize above, you can memorize below. The more you memorize, the better you have the chances of winning on the guy side or on the gal side. Amen. So let's get to quoting. All right, here we go. We'll say the reference, quote it, and the reference here. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Father, thank you so much for the lesson that we were privileged to go through, dealing with temptation and knowing that it is there, it is real, it is alive, it is active. But Lord, we can go to you as our high priest and know that you have suffered much in your human body here on earth, and you know how to avoid temptation and to resist it. And the Lord, help us to come boldly to the throne of grace. We can obtain that same mercy and find that grace to help in those needy times when we know that we're tempted above, that we're able, and find the escape, Lord, that you have for us. We thank you now and bless in the next lesson that we go into, and use the instruction, Lord, to glorify yourself. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. We are in lesson number 6. Lesson number 6. Anybody else need a book? Everybody's got their book? All right, lesson 6. And we're talking about keeping fellowship with God. Keeping fellowship with God. If you had to give your definition of fellowship, what would you say fellowship is? What's your definition? Not talking about what the legal definition is, but if you had to give me a term of fellowship, what would you say fellowship is? I've heard it's two fellas in a ship.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Amen. Ms. Tamara? Amen. Quiet time with God. Amen. That's true. Ms. Dawson? Okay. the believers with the Lord, amen, fellowshipping, amen, all right. Your definition, if you had to give your definition of fellowship, what would you say fellowship is, Ben? Amen, give and take, amen, I like that, amen. Yes, Kat? Worship and praise to the Lord. Amen. That's good. That's good. Amen. Anybody else? Your definition of fellowship. What does fellowship mean to you? And these are all good. I like them. Amen. I like the two fellows in the ship. Yes, Brother Hall. Prayer. Amen. That's good. And by the way, when you think about two fellows in a ship, what is needed between these two fellows in the ship? Right balance, keep the ship afloat, amen. Do these guys need to get along? Because there ain't a place else you can go, amen. Ms. Dawson? They have to have a common what? A common tie, amen. Oftentimes, if they're out in the ocean and they're stranded, survival would be a common tie, amen. Let's survive. And if they're at each other's throat, somebody's going to die real quick out there, amen. Or go overboard to Jaws. Two fellows in the ship, there's got to be that coordination, that cooperation. There's got to be a lot of things that happen if we're in a ship together, especially if we're going from point A to point B. There's a lot of things that need to happen there. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, because the subject matter here is keeping fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1, 9. And a lot of great things going on here, 1 John 1, 9. All right, and let's read verse 9 together. Here we go, 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, now that's 1 John 1, 9. When you think of this verse, 1 John 1, 9, what comes to your mind right off the bat? 1 John 1, 9, what comes to your mind reading this verse? Ms. Dawson? Peace, okay, amen. What else comes to your mind when you read a verse like this? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What comes to your mind when you read this verse? Uh-huh. Okay, I got to do my part. I got to make sure I confess, amen. What else? What comes to mind when you read a verse like this? Grace, amen. Grace, amen. Anything else? Yes, Ms. Dawson. Amazing love, amen. Fred? Still sinners, amen. All right, that's good. Anybody else? What comes to your mind when you read a verse like this? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. By the way, this is at the end of the chapter as well, of chapter number one. This is towards the end. So what else comes to your mind? Unrighteousness, okay, amen. Anything else? Our brother Neil? Renewal and restoration, amen. By the way, I like what, who's that, Fred said, sinners? We're still sinners, amen. By the way, if you're going to fellowship with another person, that's one thing you have to always keep in mind. They're a sinner and you're a sinner. And what's bound to happen sooner or later in that relationship? Somebody's going to sin against the other one. Amen. It's bound to happen sooner or later. Amen. So now, when you think of this verse, many things may come to your mind. I know when I think about this verse, forgiveness comes to my mind. I can have forgiveness. Notice what he says again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness comes immediately to my mind that I know if I confess my sins, then the God of heaven is going to forgive me. By the way, does that also apply to people as well? If we confess our sins or our faults to someone else, we can get their forgiveness as well. Does that go both ways? Amen? It really, it should. Sometimes people are reluctant to give forgiveness. Now, why might a person be reluctant to give forgiveness? Why might a person be reluctant? Brother Bruno? Bitterness could be. What else? Why are at times, now let's just be honest, let's pull away the shroud of falseness. Are we all at some time or another reluctant to give somebody forgiveness? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, Ms. Dawson? And normally, when we are unwilling to give forgiveness, one thought that comes to mind is, you hurt me. Or you violated me. Or you violated your word to me. Or something in that parameter or in that sphere. And we don't want to forgive them for fear of what? Oftentimes. They may hurt us again. So why forgive them? They're going to do the same thing again. I mean, we would agree with that. If I forgive you, you might do the same thing again. Or what you did was unforgivable. Look at what you did. And you did it many times. All right? So when I look at this verse, I think of forgiveness. That comes to mind. It applies to people, too. We want to make sure we get people's forgiveness. But it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, the more comfortable we get in a relationship, it seems, a relationship or a friendship, the less we acknowledge this principle. Would you agree with me? The more comfortable I become in a relationship or the fellowship, it seems that I begin to neglect this principle. Beth? Amen. Amen. I do have to be aware of where I'm sinning to be able to confess it. If I'm not aware of a sin, I can't confess it. Amen. By the way, you may have a set of things that you live by, and someone comes along and sins against one of those things that you live by, but they don't know that you live by that. Are they guilty? Yes, they are, but do they know they're guilty? No, they don't. They don't know that they're guilty. So what is your job? Communicate. Let them know, hey, if we're going to be two fellows in a ship or two gals in a ship, this offends me. This bothers me. Amen. And oftentimes, the more comfortable we get in a relationship or the more comfortable we get with a communion or a union or fellowship, whatever you may want to call it, why is it that we tend to not confess as quickly as we did when we first met? Think about it, back in the days of courting your spouse, and you confessed every little thing. And then you got married, and time went on, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Nah, it doesn't matter so much. Beth? And she took the words right out of my mouth, amen. Certain things you just take for granted, you know that's how I am. Brother Hall? Yeah, you know, we say, well, you know I don't like that, or you know how I am. You know you weren't supposed to do that. You know I want you to do this. You just know that's how I am. And the more comfortable we get in that relationship or that fellowship, the more we assume that the other person should know this. But they could have a foggy mind. They could have forgotten that that's what you like. I have a point to let my family know this is what I like.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
And I want to keep that before them. This is what I like. Do you see it? Right here. I like this. And so when something happens and I feel violated in something, I'll say, you know how I feel about this, right? Then why did you conceive it in your mind to go against and transgress against it? And then we can have some fellowship, amen? But it does seem the more comfortable we get in a relationship or a friendship or any type of dealings with others, the less we acknowledge this principle if we confess our sins. Why? Oftentimes, we want people to know, you should know me by now. Amen. Go back into the days. What was that song? If you don't know me by now, you will never, never. Who was that? Blue Jays or somebody? I don't know who it was. Otis Redding? Somebody. If you don't know me by now, you will never, never, never know me. Amen. Brother Hall's laughing. You know. I know the song, but I don't know who sang it. Amen. All right. Normally we take for granted we look at you should know, or this is another one that applies. We think that our sin or our offense is really not so bad. And so it's not worth confessing. Ms. Dawson? Amen, amen. By the way, is leaving the toothpaste cap off of the toothpaste a really bad thing? You know, really not. What about leaving the toilet seat up? Is that really a bad thing for men? The ladies, yeah. It is when you're going to sit down on it, amen. One of the worst things you want to do is have a toilet seat that is not where it should be when you're ready to use it, amen. And so we may look at it and say, that's a small thing. Just put it down yourself. Amen?
Amen,
but if I'm going to do my business at 1 o'clock in the morning, am I really thinking about putting it down at 1 o'clock in the morning? No, I'm just thinking about doing my business.
Yes, sir,
Amen? Amen? And I don't know about you, but I have fallen in one time or another. Amen?
Yeah, hey.
Like, who did that? And so we don't think of it as such a bad thing, but to the one that it means a lot to, it is a bad thing, amen? Nothing worse than touching that type of water, amen, when you don't want to touch it, amen? So we often take for granted, or we think that it's not so bad, or we expect that the other one is going to let us know how bad it is, all right? How many of y'all are time conscious, amen? And it probably burns you up when somebody is not on time, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
I mean, it burns you up. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's 4, 5 o'clock alarm, fire, four, whatever. I mean, it burns you up. But to the person that's really not time conscious, does it burn them up? Doesn't bother them a bit. They come in, like droopy. And you're looking at your clock. Don't you know you're late? Well, you know, what's the big deal? And to the time-conscious person, it's a big deal. To the other person, time is what? Time? Time is no essence. Don't you know I'm from Mexico? Amen. Brother Scott said nobody gets to church on time, and then they stay all night. Time is no big thing for them. He said that's just the way they do it. He said that's a Mexican culture. You get there late, and you stay late. You know, y'all would have a hard time if we ran church like that. Y'all would be trying to stone me. Amen. But the main thing is going all the way back to this one word in verse number 9, if we confess our sins. I've got to know it's a sin first, as Bev said. I've got to know it affects my relationship. I've got to know that this is a problem. But if I do confess it, what's the promise? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To a degree, do we know what sin is? To a degree, we really know what sin is. God has gone through great length in black and white to tell us. What about the gray areas? What do we have to go by on the gray areas? The gray areas. Bible doesn't say yay. Bible doesn't say nay. What can I go by on the gray areas? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. By the way, it may not be a sin, but if it offends someone, should I really do it? Even though it's not a sin? Is it a sin to leave the cap off the toothpaste or leave the toilet thing up? That's not a sin. I don't say thou shalt not leave the toilet thing down or the toilet lid. I don't see that. I don't see thou shalt cap the toothpaste. I don't see thou shalt put the toilet paper so that it rolls down like this. Although that's a pet peeve of mine, and so if I find that in the bathroom, I'll change it. Ms. Dawson? Yes, it could be a sin if we told our children, thou shalt not leave the cap off the toothpaste. Now, to them, it's sin. Why? Children, obey your parents, Lord, for this is right. If we have told them, leave the toilet seat down, and they leave it up, then it's a sin to them because we have told them, and children, obey your parents, Lord, for this is right. Okay? And so if they know that, we really shouldn't go against that. But there are going to be some times when the Holy Spirit is going to have to really work in our hearts to say, this is offensive to this person. They don't like this. And so we've got to work with that. Amen. So
Think about this, your relationships from the beginning. When you first met someone, were you conscious of your behavior around them? I was super conscious of my behavior around Mrs. Dawson when I first met her. Super conscious. I mean, I wasn't one of those that ironed your clothes and all that. I was a firm believer that's why they made them wash and wear. Amen. You wash them and you wear them. Permanent press. They're permanently pressed. I don't have to worry about it. Amen. And so, but when I met her, it's kind of like, let me iron this thing, get a crease there. Why? I know how she, I looked at her and she, everything was creased in mine. I can iron too. And iron that thing. That's not how I was at before I met her. I could care less. I'm washing, wearing permanent press. It's permanently pressed and you wash and you wear it. But when I met her, I was conscious and I, man, let's do that. Then as time went on, guess what I did? Huh? I went back to the wash and wear and it's permanently pressed. Amen. Doesn't bother me so much. And in the beginning, oftentimes when we first get saved, are you very, very conscious of sin?
Yes.
Oftentimes when we first get saved, we're very conscious and very sin aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're heightened. Oh, I don't want to sin. I mean, I used to use bad language when you first got saved. And I did. And so when a word came out of my mouth when I first got saved, I literally did one of these numbers. Who do you see do that? Grown-ups or kids? Kids. Kids go. And I remember that first time I cursed, I went like this. I'm so sorry. And the people looked at me like, what? We all talk like that. And I'm thinking, but I'm not supposed to. The Holy Spirit right away said, pow. And I thought, I sinned. But as time goes on, and we have a slip of the tongue, do we still do like this? What do we do? What do we do all the time? I was in the I had been saved for a while now, my wife and I both, in the presence of another Christian, and they slapped cursed in my house.
Whoa.
Now you can tell it was an accident.
Whoa.
But you know, they didn't say forgive me. They didn't say I'm sorry. They didn't say that was a slip of the tongue. And my wife and I looked at each other like, they've been saved longer than Moses.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Did it bother them that they said that word? It bothered me. We had only been saved for several years yet. And we were, did we have them in our house, honey, or they were at their house? We had them to our house. And man, one of them said that word, and I thought, oh! Christians aren't supposed to. God convicted me about that. Maybe he didn't convict him, or maybe he had gotten used to it. Yes, Ms. Dawson?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
He should have been. I was embarrassed for him. Amen. Amen. So when you're thinking about this area of confessing our sins and he being faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse them all unrighteousness, we've got to go back to the beginning. And this lesson is about getting back to the beginning when we wanted to keep close fellowship with God. We wanted nothing in between our relationship and we didn't take our relationship for granted. By the way, when I first got saved and came across this verse, I wrote it down on a 3x5 card and kept it in my wallet until I had it memorized. I had also on that same 3x5 card, 1 John 5, 11, 12, and 13. Let's read those verses here. Go back to chapter number 5. I have 1 John 1, 9 there. And 1 John 5, 11, 12, and 13. Read those verses with me. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, who can tell me why would I have those verses, 1 John 5, 11, 12, 13, as well as 1 John 1, 9, on my person when I first got saved. Why did I have that? It's awesome. I want to hold on to the promise. What's another reason, Brother Hall? Sin always brings doubt, yes, Miss Hall? Hold myself accountable to God, amen. Anybody else? And those are all true, amen, Miss Ferdy? Amen, amen. By the way, if you're raised with that mentality, that will always haunt you, amen. Praise God. Brother Bruner was not raised with that mentality because he was raised in the church that preaches the truth. But when you're raised in a church like I was raised in, if you sinned, you weren't saved. And you had to go back and get saved again. Amazingly, though, you never had to get baptized again. See how that goes? Because baptism comes when? After salvation. So if I'm supposedly getting saved again, shouldn't I get baptized again? Shows you how flawed that theology was, amen? But I kept that in my wallet because I knew that as a sinner, I was prone to sin, and that if I confess, God would forgive me, and in my sin, I'm still saved. He that hath the Son hath life, amen? And so I had that promise with me. That's why I kept those verses there, amen? Let's go to the introduction there. And Keeping Fellowship with God, Lesson 6, has got 1 John 1, 9, their key verses. We got Dr. Bruner here as a communication specialist. So, Dr. Bruner, read the overview out loud for us, please. Amen. And by the way, notice that. How often should we apply this? Every day. How often do we tend to sin? Every day. And if we're honest, we as Christians that have matured don't think we need to confess as much. Am I right? Because we don't sin like everybody else sins. They're big sinners. We're just small sinners. Amen. And we rationalize that. I'm not out pushing drugs. You know, I'm not out into extortion. I'm not out there doing these things over here. I'm not prostituting. Those are big sinners, you know. I just was late for, you know, coming back from lunch to my job. That's a small thing. They are blessed just to have me at the job in the first place. Amen. So why do I have to do that? Amen. There's some goals here, and let me read them to you. It says, first of all, number one goal is to determine to develop the habit of continually confessing sin. Notice that. Develop the habit of continually confessing sin. If I'm continuing to confess sins, what does that mean for my fellowship with God? It's going to be maintained. It's going to be special. It's going to be always intact if I'm continuing to do that. If I'm not continuing to confess my sin, what's going to happen with the fellowship? Separate. Let's do the husband and wife issue. Husband comes down and he does something to wife and doesn't confess it. What happens? There we go. He does something else and doesn't confess it. Where does he go? Here. Does something else, doesn't confess it. Where does he go? Here. Does something else, doesn't confess it. Where does he go? Here. 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 When is he going to start coming this way? When he confesses and said, I did this. If you get so far out that you forgot what you did, you say, would you just forgive me for everything? Amen. And if she's faithfully loving you, she'll say, okay, honey, but let me remind you, this is what you did. Amen. And she'll start letting him out there. Amen. And that's what happens with God as well. We sin. Boom, there we go. Then we sin again. There we go. Does God move? God doesn't move. But there we go. Boom, 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 boom. And before long, we need a telescope. Where's God at? He's out there somewhere. There he is. And before I can come back to God, what do I have to do? Confess. God, I did this. I did that. I did this. Because some steps got you this way. And it's not moonwalking either. It's just backsliding. Amen. Something got me away from God. Now I've got to get close to God. And so determined to develop the habit of continually confessing sin. Number two, understand that sin does not affect our standing in Christ. Am I still a child of God when I sin? I am still a child of God, but I'm a disobedient child. And so it affects my fellowship with Christ. Then number three, understand the proper mode of confession. So let's fill out a couple things here in your book here. Keeping fellowship with God. All right, keeping fellowship with God. Let's understand a principle here, first of all. Go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66 and verse 18. That should be in your books there. Because the question is this: why is fellowship so important? Why is fellowship so important? Well, let's answer that by giving you a question. Why is fellowship so important? Who wants to live in a house where you have nothing going on with your spouse? You're so far apart that, you're like strangers. Who wants to live in an environment like that? But that's what happens when we don't confess our sins to each other. We become alienated. We become separated. Somebody has done something, and we live under the same roof, yes, but we have really estranged ourselves from each other, and we've got no fellowship. The one is on that side. The other one's on this side. Yes, we come together. We eat. We drink. We do all these things, but somebody has separated because they did something, and they put a wedge, and we're like this, and although physically we may be like this, emotionally, we're like this. So why is this so important? Notice Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. Confession is important. Fellowship is so important because we want to make sure that God hears us. Now, does God hear us? Can God hear us? Yes. Okay. Let's give some definitions here. If I regard, the word regard means to see, to see. You open up your kitchen cabinet at home, you regard something in your cabinet. You go into the refrigerator, you regard something there. You see that it is there. So it says, if I regard, if I see iniquity. What is iniquity? Evil, wickedness, crookedness, sin. Amen. So if I see wickedness, crookedness, evil in my heart, where is that? That's the seat of my emotions and my decision-making capabilities. We make our decisions right here, coupled with right here. And so the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity, if I see iniquity in my heart, my decision-making capacity, then the Lord will not hear me. The word hear there means to acknowledge. All of us have been children before, right? And mama told you to pick up your toys. Pick up your toes. Pick up your toys. Take out the trash or wash the dishes, and you didn't do it. And then you came and asked for a favor. What happened when you asked for the favor? Do they acknowledge the request? No, they point to that which you didn't do. Didn't I ask you to wash the dishes? Then I actually take out the trash. Weren't you supposed to feed the dog? Weren't you supposed to X, Y, and Z? And we're like, let's skip that and let's talk about, me going outside and playing ball. And so they hear you, but they do not acknowledge that request. They are under no obligation to answer that request or to grant you what you're asking for until you do what? Obey. So the psalmist is saying, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I see that it is there, the Lord's going to not hear me. He's not going to acknowledge me. He's going to say, yeah, I hear you talking, but you're not getting what you're asking for until you do what I ask you to do. Amen. Do we do that to our children? Who rewards their children anyway when they didn't do what they were supposed to do? Amen. That's going to raise bad character in a child. Make them go do back what they were supposed to do and then say, now, what were you asking me? You wanted to go outside, was it? Well, I'm sorry. It's dark now. You waited too long. Amen. So he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord, what I mean. Why is fellowship so important? Because we want God to hear us. We want God to hear us. We want him to acknowledge us. But we've got to make sure we do business first with God. Amen. And go all the way back down to 1 John. Go back to 1 John and chapter number 1. Why is fellowship so important? 1 John number 1. And notice verse number 6 here. And I like the way John puts this, amen. Verse number 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him or communion with him or agreement with him and walk in, what's the word?
Darkness.
Darkness. What is Satan's realm normally associated with? Darkness. What is God associated with? Light. So if I'm in darkness or shadiness or obscurity, normally that's when most crimes are committed, believe it or not, is during darkness. Why? Why are most crimes committed when it's dark? Can't see. Brother Hall, when do most folks try to escape across the border? At night. I can see you escaping across the border in the daytime, but at nighttime, it's dark. You can't see anything. So I can dress up like a bush and kind of move myself across. They ain't got all those things. You know, if you're looking with a naked eye, if I move slow enough, I'm dressed up like a bush. I'm getting across this thing. But during the daytime, the average person say bushes don't have legs. And they don't have legs. And plus, the proximity is easier to spot during the day. If you see a moving bush, you know it's not a tumbleweed. Amen. Get that thing out of there. Burn that bush. So darkness there. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him or right relationship with him or communion with him and walk in darkness or, now notice this, walk. The word walk means to proceed or advance. So if I say I have fellowship with him and proceed or advance in darkness, he says, we lie and do not, we're not doing the truth. We're proceeding or advancing. And we are not confessing our sins. He said, all right, you're walking in darkness. You're not doing the truth. Amen. And so that's what he's talking about here. Although once we're saved, we can never lose our salvation, sin in our lives causes us to lose joy of our salvation. Why? Because the relationship, the fellowship is broken. We were talking in our family about the joy that we like that we have being together. But when someone does something wrong, that joy goes out the window. And now we don't enjoy each other as much as we did because somebody has done something to break fellowship. But then once we do right, then we have that joy. Amen. So sin breaks that fellowship. Amen. Roman number one, handling of confession. The handling of confession. Let's get that one out of the way. Amen. By the way, every believer needs to have a working experiential practice of this verse every day. And it should be one of the key verses that we live by and practice all the time. All the time. Amen. By the way, A then is all the time. The handling of confession. We want to handle confession of sin all the time. Is there a time when we don't need to confess our sins? Let's confess. Amen. Anytime we sin, we should confess that sin all the time. Amen. So, now, by the way, how many of y'all like to have your windows open now that the seasons are changing and your house has been stuffed up all winter long with your heater going, and now you want to open up the windows and get some fresh air? How many of y'all do that? Amen. And you let a windy day come along, and it hasn't rained in a long time. What are you going to find on the windowsill once you've let that window open? Dirt and dust. Now, if it's on the windowsill, where else can you guarantee that it probably is? Around the house, especially if you've got multiple windows open, and especially if you've got your screen door open or your front door open, where does dirt normally generally lay? Anywhere, amen. But more specifically, on the ground. So if I've got my screen door open, that wind's going to blow in off the ground. If I've got my front door open, it's going to blow in that way. If I've got my garage door open, and then the garage door open, it's going to blow right off the ground. What does the normal person do when they find the dust? Sweep it, mop it. If you like me, don't bother it because, you know, it's not going to, if it doesn't bother you, it's not going to bother me, amen? But as soon as you mess with it, guess what's going to happen? Now you done messed it up. Now I can tell that it's dusty. And normally that's how we handle confession, one of those two ways. Either we see it, we say, man, it's been dusty. I need to get that thing wiped up, so I'll take the cloth of confession and clean it up. Yes, or you do like me, and you see the dust. If you don't bother it, it's not going to bother anybody. Nobody will ever know it's there. It's in one complete layer, and you don't bother it. As soon as you bother it and write your name in it, now I can tell that it's dusty. And normally that's how we handle confession. We know that it's there, and we deal with it. Or we know that it's there, and we don't deal with it. And then we wait till somebody moves something. Now my sin's exposed. Oh, man. Now I got to confess it. Amen. Oh, yeah. And so when it comes to handling a confession, it's just like dust and dirt on a windy day. We've got to do something with it. Amen. And by the way, it says here in the book, in our lives, a layer of dust known as sin settles in our hearts just about every single day. Amen. And we want to have good fellowship with Christ. We should feel the need to keep our hearts clean and the cloth of confession handy. By the way, confession is something that we should be doing how often? Daily. But then in particular, during that day, when should we confess? As soon as we sin. By the way, as soon as we sin, do we know it? Nine times out of ten, the Holy Spirit says, that is not right. Nine times out of ten, the Holy Spirit tells us, that's not right. Now, let's meddle here just for the next few minutes. Should I confess deeds or thoughts? Both. What's the difference in the two? In God's eyes, there's no difference. In man's eyes, the difference is we can't see your thoughts, but we can see your deeds. But who's doing the forgiving? God. So when it comes down to deeds or thoughts, I need to confess both to God because God sees. When it comes to you and I only need to confess that which I've done against you. Now, if you think a bad thought against somebody, I ought to punch you in the nose. Do you need to go and say, Brother Duffy, I'm so sorry. I was thinking about punching you in the nose. Should I go and do that? Why? He might punch me in my nose for thinking of it. I didn't sin against him. I sinned against God. Now, if I haul out and punch him, do I need to confess him now? Brother Duffy said, yes. Okay. What are you going to say, Ms. Dawson? Amen. So when it comes to deeds or thoughts, do we confess it to God? Yes, both. Amen. Because God knows and God sees. Amen. By the way, let me give you a few things here before we stop. When I first got saved back in Europe, how many of y'all been in Europe before? Okay. Europe, they have no shame with nudity. They have pictures and statues of naked folk all over the place. Am I right, Reverend? And in Belgium, they have this icon called the mannequin piss. Did you see that? It's a little lad who was in the hallway or in the alleyway taking a urine. And his britches are pulled down, and you know the fountain is coming out, and that's one of their icons. You go to the store, and you can buy it. I mean, we have one at home. We got saved, and it was sitting up there. My wife and I looked at it like,
"What is that?"
I think that needs to go away.
Yes, sir.
I think that needs to go away. But they have no problem with that. When I first got saved, I'm walking down the street, and here's nudity. You drive up to the beach; they have nude beaches. Nobody's got clothes on. And I'm thinking, what? And I was confessing everything. There's a statue, confession. There's a picture, confession. Pick up a magazine, confession. Confession. I was confessing all the time. I thought, glory to God, I got to stay and be a recluse. Because everywhere I go, there's nudity. Am I exaggerating, Dr. Bruner? I'm serious. To them, they don't see any problem with it. And I went down to Athens, Greece. It was at its highest. And so I could identify what Paul was talking about on Mars Hill. I mean, it was abominably high. And so when it comes down to confessing, we've got to confess deeds or thoughts. And here's something I want you to think about before we close here. I have thoughts of an old movie. Do I need to confess it? Before I got saved. Now that I am saved, I have thoughts of that movie. Should I confess it? I have thoughts of an old song. Should I confess it? And I'm going to leave you on the cliff here. I have thoughts of an old habit. Should I confess it? I have thoughts of an old flame, boyfriend, girlfriend. Should I confess it? I've got thoughts of an old sin. Should I confess it? And I'm going to leave you on that. We're going to talk about it next week. Saved by the bed. So if it comes down to it, I need to confess deeds and thoughts to God. Do I need to confess these type of thoughts? old movies, old songs, old habits, old flames, old sins, old things. Do I need to confess that to God? And we're going to discuss that next week. So mull that over in your mind. Again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We're going to talk about that next week. And oh no, we won't talk about that next week because Brother Neil's got Sunday school next week. So you got a week of reprieve to think about that. And we're going to think about that this week. But and you think about some of the things that you used to do. And if you think about those things today, now that I'm saved, should I confess those thoughts? Deeds, of course, we know we need to confess. But what about thoughts? Amen. Memory verse is going to be 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. That's what we're going to work on. You've got your homework. Should I confess those type of thoughts? Amen. All right. And Brother Neil's going to be doing Sunday school next week, so we're looking forward to that. Amen. But your memory verse is 1 John 1:9. Amen. All right. And that whole area there is a good area to meditate upon from verse 1 all the way down to verse number 10. And so if anybody wants to be adventurous and memorize more, you are more than welcome to do so. Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you have bought fellowship and its importance to our minds. Lord, help us to want to keep fellowship with you and our everyday walk of life, Lord, making sure that we're handling confession all the time. Lord, it is something that we know in this sinful world, we'll be tempted to sin, we'll be tempted to do deeds that are not right, we'll be tempted to think thoughts that are not right, not of God. And Lord, help us to recognize when we need to confess and when we don't need to confess, what we're doing, what's acceptable and what's pleasing and what is not. Lord, we want to have fellowship with you. We want to keep that relationship pure. We want to keep it fresh. And Lord, we want to stay close to you. So help us, Lord, in this area of confession. We may know exactly what we need to confess. And then, Lord, as we lay on the promise, we confess our sins. We know you're faithful and you're just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that we can have forgiveness and we can be restored once that is broken. And help us to maintain right relationships with one another as well, letting others know, Lord, when something bothers us, and we need to get that thing right. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now. Bless the food next door, the refreshments, and may you get all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. 1 John 1:9, and you are dismissed.